This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. We are either on the cusp of a great success or otherwise. So we were doing this big deployment this week. And I wasn't personally doing it, but I oversee the stuff that was being done. And, you know, it was just one of those things that we got going along, and then it was like, oh, hey, this is a dead end down here. I'm going to have to turn around. One moment. I'm not driving home my normal way because I had a little running around to do, and so I just pulled over to a little parking lot, started the thing up, and now I'm driving home. We were going to do the deployment to this new big version on Monday, and we got that started. We'd done our testing. Everything looked great. We're good. We get started into it and realize that this new version doesn't like to support Server 2012. Windows Server 2012, it really wants Windows Server 2016, blah, blah, blah. So then they have to spin up another box, and now we have to do a fresh, they have to do a fresh install, et cetera, et cetera. Got through all of that. Then on Wednesday, they started it again. We did more testing. And then it kind of slipped sideways a little bit. Rats. So, needless to say, the poor guy who was doing the installation had a long day yesterday. But he got all the way through it, got all the support calls in, got all the stuff done, got everything looked fine this morning, and then we got ready to launch. And then we got word that we were going to have to change what's called the DNS entry, domain name service entry. That was when the sadness kicked in. Suffice it to say, there were a whole stack of reasons for things that I can't go into, but what should have been a 5-minute situation turned into a 7-hour delay. So we basically turned everything on and walked out of the building. And I'm not going to be there tomorrow. And the guy who did the upgrade is not going to be there tomorrow. But we think it's okay. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we needed to get it turned back on for our missionaries. And hopefully everything's fine. We did test and everything seems to be fine. And we've done plenty of testing on dev boxes. That all seems to be fine. So we'll see. I feel like I'm a little bit behind on the writing. I'm not technically behind, but I feel like I'm behind because I'm in week 4 and I'm only over 30,000 words, which theoretically I should be over 40,000 words, but I started a week early, so I didn't get much writing done on vacation. I got some done, but not much. We had a lovely vacation, really lovely. Had a lovely time with friends. I talked about new friends. I talked about some of that last week. Just had a nice time, you know, getting away and kicking around together and enjoying ourselves. And so it was good. It was very, very good. We were, you know, both rested and ready to come back in. Although Monday was a bit interesting because our plane, I don't think I said this right last week. Our plane was leaving Florida at 6:05 Eastern time, which means we needed to be at the airport at least 5:05 Eastern time, which means I needed to be up at least 3:45 Eastern time. Oh, yeah. So, So I had gone to bed, I think, at 7:45 Eastern time, knowing that I was just going to be fitfully in and out, you know, resting all night. But that's okay. At least you get some rest. Well, all of that was Eastern time, so it was actually rolled back an hour, so I was actually getting to bed at 6:45, getting up at 2:45, leaving the hotel and getting to the airport like at 5 till 4 in the morning, with the plane leaving at 5:05 in the morning. And as soon as we hit the ground here in Springfield, I went ahead and we hopped in the car, got everything home, did a quick unload, changed my clothes, flipped around. I was into headquarters at 9:30 and spent most of the rest of the day working, and got some good work done and built some hours, and that's the goal. So anyways, because you know, I thought we were going to be deploying on Monday, and as it turns out, we didn't actually because of the server. But that's a little of that. Sorry, I have to blow my nose. I will put this on pause for a moment. Okay, because you don't need to hear that. But the writing is going fine. I'm starting to hear back from some people on book 11. And so far, people seem pretty happy with book 11. They thought it was fun. And, they thought the epilogue was touching, which is good. That's what we always want. And some people coming back faster than expected. So that means the book kept them interested and kept them driving forward, which is good. It's all good. It's all good. All good. So that's good. And book 12, I think, is shaping up to do the things it needs to do. There's a bunch of stuff that's not settled in it, but I mean, I'm only on chapter 6. And I've got it enough that I'm ready to move on, because sometimes you kind of get it roughed in, and then after I write the rest of the book, then I'll know what I need to do in the opening chapters, which at this point, I'm guessing what I need to do in the opening chapters. There are some uncertainties here. I don't know what the nursery rhyme is yet, but sometimes that happens as well. I think I know what the parable is. It's the parable of the dishonest steward, which is a really interesting parable. So I'm going with what I think I know. We'll see what happens from there. Jesus is kind. It usually works out. So anyways, I'm going to be home here in a few minutes, so we'll get started to notes. A buddy sent me this article this week. I checked, and I don't think I've done one on this. I've done things similar to this, but he wrote me, and we've been talking about flesh and spirit for years and years and years, and he wrote me, and he said, so here's another article about flesh. He said, although they don't call it that, but it's all talking about the voices in your head. And I scanned the article, and, you know, sure enough, it is. The guy's approach that he takes to defeat these voices in your head will work. Because that is the amazing thing to me about this struggle that we as human beings have with evil. We tend to think, this is not in the article, this is just me. We tend to think, well, if you don't have Jesus, you don't stand a chance. But that is not true. My dad, when he was in Sri Lanka in the 50s, he recounts the story, and I heard him mention it in his sermons growing up. He recounts the story of a firewalker. Ceylon, Sri Lanka, not the combination of the two. And the firewalker had gotten saved, and he was talking to my dad. And how they would do their firewalking, it wasn't a trick. They would actually meditate and ask the demons to come and possess them. And then once they felt like they had sufficient possession, they would walk across the coals. They would also take these tongs with hooks and pierce their backs and be lifted off the ground with these things, and they wouldn't feel any pain, etc., etc. Now, someone might say, oh, that's just mental. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's spiritual. for whatever you would think that someone who did not know Jesus, who had put themselves through that, who had meditated so that the demons would invade him, you would think that that person would become demon-possessed and unable to rescue themselves. And in fact, this firewalker reported to Dad that at any time during all of that, he could just say no, and the demons would leave. Because God respects free will and has given us free will, and somehow within all of the way this works in the heavenlies and in the spirit realm and that kind of thing, this concept of free will is enforced, that we have the ability to choose. There are some people who tell you there's no such thing as free will, but one of the things that I take away from this article that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes here is this concept, again, of free will, that even if you don't know Jesus, even if you do not have the help of the Holy Spirit, I believe that does not mean that you are helpless against the onslaughts of Satan and of the world, which is a collection of flesh, and of your own flesh. You are not helpless against that, even if you do not name the name of Christ. Because God has given us a gift, and that gift is the ability to choose. And this guy very clearly enumerates how you use this gift, even though he doesn't use that language. So the title of the article was, "Stop Spending So Much Time in Your Head." And it's by a name, I will probably massacre this name, but it's by a man named Darius Faroux, F-O-R-O-U-X. I think that would probably be Darius Faroux or Favreau or Foro or something. Anyways, so he says in this article, he starts out by saying, I know something about you without knowing you. I bet you spend a lot of your time in your head. You know, thinking, worrying, stressing, freaking out, call it whatever you want. I call it a preoccupied mind. And with what? In his words, 99% of your thoughts are useless. William James put it best, quote, "A great many people think they are thinking when they are merely rearranging their prejudices." That's a good quote. That's good. So he said, the author of the article said, "All my life I've been obsessed with practical things, practical philosophy, practical knowledge, practical books, practical work, practical advice. That idea comes from pragmatism, a philosophical tradition that started in the 19th century in America. Charles Sanders Peirce, who was a Harvard professor, is considered the father of pragmatism. But it was William James, a trained physician turned philosopher, who really defined the philosophy. About thoughts, worry, and stress, William James says, quote, "The greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over the other." And then he goes through some excuses. He says, people will say, well, I can't help but think these things. And the author of the article says, well, you can with enough practice. It's a skill. In other words, you have the ability to decide what you think, or you can choose not to think. So he goes through the standard questions that, you know, might be rolling around in your head. Things like, I wonder what my boss thinks. What happens if I screw up and I lose my job? Does she love me? I think he doesn't care about me. I just keep failing. Why does my life suck? Why is my life not awesome like other people's are? You know, what if I get cancer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So the author of the article then says, I just have one question for you. What is the practical use of your thoughts? And he says, you're not going to have an answer for that. There'll be no answer because these thoughts have no use. 99% of them have no use. Which thoughts are useful? Thinking about how you can solve problems. A problem is just an unanswered question. Put your brain to use and think about how you can solve problems. There are a lot of those on this earth, problems, and you can solve them. Okay, so understand knowledge. Knowledge means this. Try to internalize knowledge and think about how you can use that knowledge to improve your life, career, work, relationships. That's it. You can ignore every other thought. If you're constantly thinking, it is because you haven't trained your mind. You have to get out of your head. If not, you will go mental. Everyone will, no exceptions. Okay, so his solution then is, okay, so how do I stop myself thinking useless thoughts? He says awareness, that's where it starts. Every time you feel yourself drifting off, just become aware of it. Observe your brain, step outside yourself, and just observe the crazy blankety blank that you're thinking about. Don't judge, don't think you're stupid. If you do that, you're not thinking again. No, what you want to do is to say to yourself, ah, that's a cute thought. Now let's get back to reality. And then he quotes William James again. If you can change your mind, you can change your life. And that is true. Then he asks a bunch of questions. Are you back to reality? Do you feel your eyes reading the letters on the screen? Do you feel the phone in your hand? Are you thinking about how you're going to apply this information to your life? Great. You're using your mind and it's not the other way around. Now, keep using that brain of yours because I tell you this, it's the most powerful tool on earth. And he's absolutely correct there. You do have free will. You can control your thoughts. Now, that's one approach to doing it. And that will work. That will work. I like my approach better, as you might guess already. Because I think my approach sort of bolsters and provides an easy energy. Because we typically are combative people. We rise up against a force that's trying to destroy us. One moment, I'm getting my mail. Let's see what this is. Oh, random house. There may be a check in there. Let's see. Nothing here. One moment, gotta check below. Nope, okay, we're good. The reason that I like this idea of flesh and spirit is that, first of all, it's scriptural. You can just go to Galatians 5, start with verse 16, and you'll see Paul goes right down through it about the war between flesh and spirit. That is not Satan. That is not demons. It is you. It is you. So I really like, you know, the idea about flesh and spirit. But the other reason that I like it, not only because it's actually scriptural, I like it because it provides an interesting dichotomy that is reflected in societies. You see this all the time, i.e. the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other. It's really interesting because if you will image it in such a way where you think the flesh is only going to tell me lies, the spirit is going to tell me the truth. The flesh is out for my destruction. The spirit is out for my success. I think that's a help when you're trying to make yourself more aware, because as soon as you feel this stress rising within you, you can say, okay, what lie is the flesh trying to tell me right now? Because it will be based on a lie. And then once you determine what that lie is and you can consider that lie, then you can look at it and go, well, that doesn't make sense. And then you can move on from that lie. So it is similar to what he's talking about. First, you become aware. You've got all these weird thoughts in your head about this is going to be bad, that's going to be bad, blah, 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 blah. And then you become aware of that. And then you start thinking about something else. But if you have the mechanism to be able to say, ah, okay, that's a lie. What is the lie? All of a sudden now you've stepped back. You've given a value judgment to what is trying to bring you down. And you've engaged your rational mind to analyze that. So now already you're getting distance from it. And then when you come up with the answer, then you can engage your brain to say, well, that's not true. And then you can back up from it. You know, it was interesting this week because we thought we were ready to go. Everything was great. So we said, okay, we're giving it a try. We think we're good. And then, of course, we had the issue with, oh, it's wrong server, blah, blah, blah. We did some testing Tuesday. So Wednesday morning, we were going to pull the trigger. Yesterday morning, going to pull the trigger. And I was praying. And, you know, you always wish that everything goes smoothly. But there was like this little kind of thing underneath that was saying, might not go smooth. And then, of course, there was like this stress thing underneath of, oh, sure hope things don't blow up, you know, blah, 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 which, of course, is just flesh. You're going to be disgraced, blah, 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 you know, booga, 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 all that stuff. All that stuff is coming up. And my way of combating that stuff is to say, no, I'm not going to be disgraced. I'm going to be loved as much this evening as I am right now, because God's love for me is eternal. But it was interesting because as I considered how to pray, the thought that came to me, which pretty much indicated that we were going to have trouble, the thought that came to me was, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the challenge that lays before us this day. I thank you that you are going to walk with us through this challenge, that everything's going to be fine. But I thank you for this challenge, for the opportunity to trust you through this challenge. So now all of a sudden, not only are you aware of what you're feeling, now you've labeled it a lie. Now you've shown the falsehood of it, and now you've applied truth to it. That God has, in amazing ways, many times over, uncountable times, been a resource and a help. We are going to trust that he will be again. Another of my sayings is, when you're in a difficult situation, you really have two choices. You can either trust God or wish you had after it was over. I can honestly say that both Justin and I, the guy who was actually doing the work, we manifested our trust in God every step of the way. There were no heated discussions between us. There were no heated discussions with anyone else. We had different opinions, very small, minor things, at points in the process, but we discussed it. We decided how to move forward. There was no accusation. There was no raised voices. There was none of that. We simply moved in. He dealt with the challenges. He shared the challenges. When I felt like, you know, it may be necessary to step in here, I stepped in. We discussed it. We came up with a plan. We moved to the next thing. Just like that, one step at a time, one step at a time. And he just did a fabulous job. I mean, he did a fabulous job with it. We're in a situation now where we're facing a situation where, because something that we had no control of actually put us 5, 6, 7 hours late. And that means we basically had to turn stuff on and walk out of the building. But that's okay. That's all right. You know, we'll see how things go. And, you know, I'll keep checking tonight. And as soon as I see that I've got some kind of access to it, that the DNS is propagated, then we'll turn everything back on. We'll go from there. And then we'll see what happens. And if we have problems over the weekend, then come Monday, we'll walk in, we'll deal with whatever problems we have to deal with, and we'll go from there. Because God has been faithful to us in the past. He will be faithful to us in the future. And we have done the diligence, the best diligence we can, performed our due diligence, and we'll just see what happens. But for me, at least, and I think for Justin as well, I'm going to trust him in this process. You know, I'm going to trust him. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.